Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach. Pray, God, you clear my mind. You've helped me study these notes out. You've helped me look at this passage over the course of the last few weeks. I pray that you please, Lord, just help us as we go through our daily lives this week and as we come back for revival. And Lord, long after the revival's over, that we would run the race, that God, you'd help us to keep in the saddle, that you'd help us as 45 years have passed, that you give us another 45 years in the future to keep running and to keep rolling and to keep doing what needs to be done. God, I pray that you'd please stir our hearts now, that you'd please open up our eyes and, Lord, open up our understanding tonight as we look at your word. Dear God, we love you. Thank you so much that you've brought so many people in. Lord, so many faces, so many familiar, Lord, sounds and voices. I pray, God, that as we sit here tonight, that, Lord, as we look at your word, you touch our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just say, there is a race set before you. There's a race set before you. Say, what do you mean, Brother Jesse? I'm talking about the will of God. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Folks, the course is laid out. Your life is laid out. When you got saved, our omniscient God looked across your life and he says, "I know what you're going to do. I've set it out in front of you." And you know what? We're talking about running a race. You know what? When they run a cross-country race, you know what they do? They set the course out. They know what it is from beginning to end. They have people in place if there's any kind of changes to happen. When you run the cross-country course at WRV, you know what they do? Is you run through the woods and you go around the tracks and the ball field. And then when you come back, you know what happens? Is they change the starting place and then you have to run around the track two times and then that's the end of the race. You know what? Your course is laid out just like that course is. Our course is a higher calling. Our course is set out by God himself. So let me just tell you that this course isn't laid out to be easy. This course is not going to be easy. This course is laid out to challenge me, to challenge you. My course isn't your course. Your course isn't the course of the person sitting in front of you or behind you. You know what? A cross-country course is laid around lakes and ball fields and school buildings and through woods and up and down hills. You know what Ephesians 1, 8 and 9 tells us? This, "Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." And folks, let me tell you this. You say, "Brother Jesse, I'm running the course, but I don't know where I'm going." God wants you to know the course. He wants you to know where you're going. The course is set out in front of you. You might say, "Well, Brother Jesse, I can't see the whole course." God hasn't revealed the whole course to you. But you know what? He doesn't want you to be in the dark about your next step. You say, "I don't know what I'm doing in 10 years. You know what? Well, how about 5 years? I don't know what I'm doing in 5 years. Well, how about 2 years? Well, I know what I'm doing in 2 years. We'll do that, and God will reveal the next 5 years. Well, Brother Jesse, I don't know what I'm doing in a year from now. You know what? Find out what God wants you to do. Find out from your pastor what you can do. And you know what? Follow that course, and God will keep laying it out in front of you. The course is laid out in front of you. Now, you know what? When you start running cross country, and when I was in school, they started it up when I was a sophomore. We didn't have a cross-country team for years. And you know, I went somewhere, I didn't know the course. I didn't know where it was, but they laid it out very distinctly where you should go and where you should not go. I was never at Shackamack running that course before. But you know what? They had signs. They had people there who to tell you where to run and how to run it. God doesn't want you to be in the dark. He's got to set out your will. And God has a will set out specifically for you. Folks, when you're married, you know what you're doing? You're running that course with your loved one. Hey, you know what? When you get married, young lady, you know what? You're going to be running that course with your husband. Young men, when you start running that course and you get married, that woman is going to be running that course with you. You know what? When you have children, those kids are running the course with you. Miss Sarah, you know what? She's a bundle of energy. You know what she loves to do? Go bus visiting. You know what she does when she sits back here in the back? "Daddy, can we go to the south side yet? Daddy, can I go visiting with you yet?" You know why? Because she's running the course with us. James, he's just content to sit back here and sleep and eat. But you know what? Soon, he'll be running the course with us. You know what? Yeah, soon, when you're in your parents' house, young people, you're running the course with your parents right now. But soon you'll be out of the house, and you know what you'll be doing? You'll be running your course. You'll be running the course set in front of you. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What do you mean, Brother Jesse? You know what I mean is that when you train a child and he's running that course with you, and they're there right by your side, and you have to peel off to do the will of God set out for you, and they peel off to do the will of God set for them, you know what the Bible says? They're going to keep going that way because their momentum is carrying them that way. You know what, folks? It is a race. It is a race. The course is laid out in front of you, and it is a race. You know what? Running the race is your business. It's your job. You know what Jesus said in Luke 2:49? And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? When you're running your course, you know what you're doing? Your Father's business. When you're running your course, whether you're a carpenter, whether you work in a coal mine, whether you mow lawns, whether you play the piano at a church, whether you work in a school, or no matter what you do, what you're doing, you know what that is? That's your Father's business. You know what? I've met men and they said, you know what? I was doing good here and I was making a living here, but then God moved me over here. I'm doing something different. God changed their business. And you know what they did? They kept God in mind. They said, God, this is what my career is. Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to put this together? Hey, you know what? I got to work with Brother Jeff Reiser for 2.5 years. When I was a high schooler, I got to work with Brother Jonathan Reiser, with Brother Jeff Reiser, with Brother Derek Lowen, with all kinds of different people in here. And you know what? God said, I'm going to use that later in your life. I'm going to use that later in your life. Hey, I've mowed lawns with Brother Levi Hall. You know what he said? I'm going to use that later in your life. Hey, you know what? I've cleaned vehicles and I've done all kinds of things. You know what I'm doing? God's business. God's business. And you know what? If you're doing the will of the Lord right now, if you're walking that course, you know what it is? That's your business. You're a professional runner of life. Are you running that? Are you racing? Now, let me explain the parameters of the race. Because in a cross-country meet or some kind of other race, it's all about speed. It's about who can be the fastest to the finish line. This is not about the fastest time. It's not about your athletic prowess, but instead you will be rewarded for running your specific course set before you as perfectly as you can. You know what God wants to do? He doesn't want you to be the first at the end, because Jesus even said, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So it's obviously not a regular race from point A to point B. You need to run the course set out in front of you. It's a race. Revelation 22:12 tells us this, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. God's got a reward for your race. You know what? My reward will be different than your reward. You know what? He said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet ever, but then he said, you know what? The least among you will be greater than him. You know what, folks? There is a race in front of you. It is a competition. We need to be living it like it's our job. You know what? This competition is between you and the course. It's between you and the course. It's not between you and the person sitting next to you. You don't have to beat them. It's not between you and the person sitting in front of you or down the road at a different church. This course is between you. This battle is between you and the course. You know what? This world that you're running this course through is full of pitfalls. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. As you're running through this world, you know what you're going to realize? There's plenty of pitfalls. There's plenty of mud to step in. There's plenty of dirt that's going to get on your coattail. You know what? I love getting my suit dry clean, but sometimes I just love when I get it on a Sunday and I see that there's snot on the shoulder, and I see that there's dirt there where the kids that you picked up have got their dirty shoes on you, and you say, Brother Jesse, your pants look nice. Well, you know what? You should see the pants I wore this morning where there's frays along the bottom of them. And you know what? There's some rips that had been sewn up. And you know what? As I went through this world, the tatters and the tears and the mud got all over me. This world has pitfalls. And sometimes if you're not following the course perfectly God has set out for you, you will fall into those pitfalls. Be careful of the world. Your own flesh will battle you. Now, I don't know if you know this. I don't like to run. I just don't. I don't know about any of you, but I'm pretty sure that most of you could say at one point in your life, you said, I just don't like to run. But when I started running cross country as a sophomore, the thing we would do, we'd come as the most boring sports practice ever. I played baseball, I played basketball, and we came to the football field, and the coach said, all right, next 2 hours, just run. Just run? Yeah, just run. Just go ahead and just run. That's what we did for 2 hours. Came the next day. Coach, we got to do something different. Yeah, instead of running around the track, I want you to run around the school building. We're going to lay out the new course. I said, okay, how long are we going to do that? For 2 hours, just run. And I hated it. Oh, I hated it so bad. But then you know what I started to do? As I ran, I started to enjoy running. But you know what? Your flesh is going to battle you as you run this course. You know who's going to fight you? You know what you got to battle? You got to battle your old stinking flesh. Romans 7:18, Paul says this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." One of the young men from Duggar was excellent. I mean, he was running the best times, and he was setting records. And you know what? He came to me one time. I said, "Man, how do you do that?" I said, I get that shark bite in my side, and I can't stand it. It hurts." He says, "You know what I do? I just keep running." He's like, "When my side starts hurting, I just run harder." Now, you know what? I could never get there, but that kid loved to run. And you know what? One time, he was over at WRV, and the coach said, "Here's their fastest runner. I want you to follow him. I want you to be on him like a fat kid on a candy bar. I want you to follow him, and I want you to be right on his tail every moment of the day." And you know what he did? He got right behind that kid, and that kid would be running, and he started to realize that this kid was running behind him. And so you know what? He'd run up the hill, and about halfway up the hill, he just took off, and that kid was right on his tail. And then all of a sudden, he'd be coming down the hill, and he'd slow down a little bit, and that kid was just right on his tail. Ran the whole race. He came and he told his coach. His coach came and told our coach, and you know what? That kid, he ran. He fought his flesh. You know what, folks? You're going to have to fight your flesh. You're going to have to fight your flesh. Hey, you know what? The devil, you know who your one adversary is? The devil. He will do anything and everything to stop you. He came to Jesus right after Jesus' baptism, and he said, "Jesus, you know what? I could give this all to you." Jesus said, "No." He said, "Jesus, how about you cast yourself down? The Bible says that you'll be caught." He said, "No." He said, "Jesus, you know what? I know you've dedicated yourself to a fast, but if you're really that hungry, if you're really the Son of God, do this." He said, "No." The devil's going to play dirty to get to you. The devil's going to do anything he can to get to you. He'll wait until nobody can see you from the crowd, and you're out there in the forest, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to trip you. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to push you. But you know what, folks? You got to fight the devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Folks, you know what? I'm just going to touch this, but you know what? Those are the three people you need to fight: the devil, the flesh, and the world. Quit fighting other runners. Quit fighting other people. Hey, you know what you don't need to do? Is you don't need to be running along and see somebody who's running better than you, or see somebody who's running a way that you don't like and push them down. You know what you don't need to do is run by somebody and send them a word of discouragement. You know what? The only thing that we need to be fighting right here is the course laid out before you. Is the course laid out before you. And you know what? It's hard enough to run our course. Young people, as you start paying bills, I said the best thing that I learned, it wasn't college, it wasn't all the school that I had in high school. It was paying bills that taught me the things that I needed to know about life. You know what? It's hard enough paying bills. You don't need somebody else discouraging you. It's hard enough getting to church on a Sunday after working a 40-hour week or a 48-hour week. You don't need somebody discouraging you. It's hard enough when you go out on Saturday and give of your time and maybe give of your money to put candy on the bus. You don't need somebody else discouraging you. Quit fighting other runners. You know what I got to say now? The course is laid out, the will of God. It's in front of your life, young people. It's in front of your life, no matter if you're a young person or if you're sitting here as an adult. You know what? You know that there's some people that's going to battle you. You've got that under your belt. Over the 45 years of Blessed Old Baptist Church, you've seen that. Now, you know what's left? Run the race. Run the race. Now, you know what? I'm not talking about simply reading your Bible every day. I'm not talking about just praying. I'm not talking about just going visiting. I'm saying your walk with God, your life with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about your personal relationship. You know what you need to be doing? You need to be running the race. You know what? I could talk about the guide tonight of this race, the Bible, the book that tells you how to run, where to run, and what to do whenever problems come up, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. I could talk about your coach in life who's there beside you whenever you do fall down, the one who's called consolation, the comforter, to pick you up when you've fallen. You know what? I don't want to talk about him tonight. He's important. He's there in your life. You know that. But you know what I want to talk about right now? Run the race. Run the race. I don't want to talk about what you need to do because you should know what you need to do. Just run the race now. You know what, folks? I think after 45 years, you understand that all those things are there for you. Now run the race. You say, keep running? Yes, keep running. What does it mean to run, Brother Jesse? To move with haste, to act quickly, to run or walk hastily, to half course, bound, flight, sprint, spur, trot, gallop, jog, dart, canter. Always to say this, run. Run! Run that race in front of you. You know what, boys? When you play a game of football, what are you doing? You're driving that ball from one end of the field to the other. If the ball movement slows down, that's bad. If the ball movement stops, that's even worse. If the ball movement goes the other way, you know what you're doing? You're losing. You don't want that to happen. You know that. It's that simple. When you're playing a basketball game, you drive that ball to the hoop. You try to get it there any and every way you can. Whether you shoot it, whether you dribble it, or whether you pass it, you get the ball there. But you know what? If the ball goes the other way, or if you can't get the ball to your hoop, what's going to happen? You're going to lose. You're going to be a loser if you can't get the ball there. So you know what I'm telling you? Drive that ball there and run the race. You know what? Run that race. You say, Brother Jesse, but I'm getting tired. Run that race. Brother Jesse, there's things in my life that you don't know about. Run the race. Because you know what? There's things in my life you don't know about. There's things in this man's life that you don't know about. There's things in everybody's life you don't know about. And you know what I'm just telling you? Run the race. You know, say, Brother Jesse, but you don't know the course that is laid out in front of me. You're right. It's different than mine. God made your course for you, and he made my course for me. Let's run the race. Psalm 1:1 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't walk, don't stand, don't sit. Let's run the race. Let's run the race. Hey, you know what my coach told me? Now, I wasn't the fastest runner, all righty? But I wasn't the slowest either. I tripped that kid before we got to the finish line, all righty? Ask Brandon McCammon, okay? That's partially true. But you know what he said? He told us, he said, now listen, guys, I don't want you walking. Nobody should ever see you walking. And I was just like, okay. And he's like, you know, I want you guys to at least look like you're running. So I practice this, okay? You ready? This is going to look really good up here in a suit. I practice this. And that's how fast it went. You say, Brother Jesse, you could have walked faster. Yeah, but it didn't look like I was walking. I was trying to run. Say, Brother Jesse, what happened when you got that shark bite real bad? I kept doing that thing right there till I got there. You know what, folks? He said, don't ever walk. Do not walk during a meet. Now, God forbid, you should stand or sit down on the job while the coach saw you. He wasn't going to have that. He wasn't going to have that. You know what was going to happen if you were standing or sitting down? All right, everybody else go home. You sat down. You can run that time you sat down. Hey, you know what? He said, I'm going to make it a requirement for the guys who want to play basketball to run cross country. And one of the guys said, I ain't doing that. I don't want to run cross country. So you know what he did? The first 2 months of practice, he ran laps. He ran laps around the gym. And as we practiced playing basketball, you know what he was doing? Running laps. Hey, you know what? If he had a basketball in his hand, you know what he's doing with it? He wasn't shooting it. He was running laps with it. And you know what? Here's the progression, folks. If you stop running and walk, you know, well, you won't believe that you can run again. That's what happens. When you stop running and your momentum is gone and you're just kind of doing that little jog or you're just walking, you know what? You've lost momentum. You're not going to believe yourself that you can run again. And then all of a sudden you're going to say, well, I'm walking already. Maybe I can just stop for a moment. It's not that far from walking to running or from walking to standing. I'm going to stand for a while. And then once you've lost momentum and you're standing there stopped and you're standing around talking or maybe doing whatever you're doing on your phone, you're going to say, well, I'm already standing. I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to go have a seat. And you know, all of a sudden, you would never have believed it because you're running and you're going that way and you're starting to walk and you said, well, I'm just going to walk. I'll get my momentum back. And then all of a sudden, you're standing around talking to the rest of the center and now you're sitting in a seat. You would never have believed that, but that's how it goes, is it just goes from progression to progression all the way down. Now, let me tell you, let me encourage you today. Run and don't be weary. Run and don't be weary. Galatians 6:9 says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Folks, you know what God said? He said, if you keep running, if you keep heading that way, you're going to reap the rewards. You know what? I've not been in the ministry very long, but when I got into the bus ministry at 16 and 17, helping Miss Tina and Brother Bud run that van, all those kids now are 10 years older. And you know what? I see them out in the community, and I have a kid, he comes up, man, I remember when you talked to my uncle and he got saved. I'll talk to him at the gas station while they're out smoking, and they'll say, Brother Jesse, it's so good to see you. And you know what? Why do they recognize me? Why do they know me? Because I've been running the last 10 years. You know what? They're not disappointed to talk to me because I've been running the last 10 years. And you know what? You got that story in your life, and we've got bus kids of bus kids of bus kids in here today. But you know what, folks? Keep running that race. Don't get weary. You're going to start reaping the reward. You know what the Bible says in your text verse, Hebrews 12:3. You know what? If you're not there, look at it with me. Look at it with me. Hebrews 12:3. I love this encouragement. It seems like such a Baptist encouragement. It says this, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And folks, look right up here, you know what it's saying? It's saying, hey, if you feel like you're getting tired, think about how Jesus was beaten, and think about how Jesus went to the cross, and think about how Jesus was so weary in his flesh, he couldn't even carry that cross up the hill. And think about how weary Jesus was as he hung there, and they went to offer him something to drink. And folks, you know what? That makes me start feeling pretty good about where I'm at. You know what? I mean, isn't that such a Baptist thing to do? Hey, you're tired. Look at what Jesus did. If you are more tired than Jesus, I think you'd have an excuse. But I don't think any of us has died on a cross this week. I don't think any of us has been beaten by the soldiers this week. I don't think any of us have had a robe of on our back and a crown of thorns in our head this week. You know what he says? Consider these things. Consider these things and keep running. Don't get tired. Keep running. Think of those things. I always think when I have a bad visiting experience, what Brother Bo said. He said one time he was at work and he walked up to a guy and he handed him a church tract. And that guy took that church tract and threw it on the floor. And he said, I don't want to have nothing to do with your church. I just can't even believe it. Maybe he even spat on it. You know what? I don't know. But Brother Bo said he just shrugged and he walked away. And maybe he picked up the tract. I'm not sure. But you know what? That guy came back and he said, hey, could I have another one of those? Hey, could I have another one of those tracks? I'm sorry. Hey, can I have another one of those tracks? I want to come to church. You know what? I always think, you know what? Hey, I'm not working in that place with Brother Bo, but you know what? If he can be encouraged enough to give out a track, I can be encouraged enough to get out a track. Hey, if he can be encouraged enough to pick that up off the floor and give it right back to the guy when he comes back, I can do that. Keep running the race. Don't be weary. Psychologically, runners experience something called a runner's high. And what this is it's a euphoria, a feeling of being invincible they get. It's a reduced state of discomfort or pain, and even a loss of sense of time while running. And what happens is when you get in the groove, you start enjoying the sweat dripping down. You start enjoying the fact that your feet are a little sore, and maybe you stepped on a tree root, and you're thinking, you know what, I'm glad I'm not stepping in the woods again. And you know what, you start thinking, man, this feels pretty good, and all of a sudden you start losing track of time. If you've done any amount of running, I think you know what I'm talking about. It's a good feeling. You feel like you're dying at first, and then you get going, and you get in the groove, and you start feeling good. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for that victorious Christian life. I'm looking for that runner's high that Jesus and the disciples had when they went out to the desert to get some time alone, and the 5,000 people followed him. I'm looking for that time that Jesus was sitting there and he said, hey, don't send him away, guys. Let's get down. Let's have him sit in groups of 50 and serve him. You know what Jesus had? He had that runner's high. He had that euphoria. He had that victorious Christian life. Folks, you know what? You know what his pastor always say? I'm not driving this train. I'm just holding on to the caboose. And you know what, folks? That's what it's like. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jesse? It feels out of control. And you're doing everything you can to hold on. It's that third day of vacation Bible school. And you guys get in from work and you say, oh, no, I got to have McDonald's hamburger again. And you know what you do is you get going. And all of a sudden you think, I can keep going. I can keep running. You get going and all of a sudden you think, I might be tired. But man, it feels good to be at vacation Bible school on a Wednesday night. And then all of a sudden you get going. And you say, man, it feels good. I might have just had one Sunday of a big Sunday, and I might have wanted to tear my hair out, but man, I can't wait till next week. I can't wait till next week when I can visit my kids. I can't wait till next week when I can see if that kid will get baptized or got saved. You know what it is? Don't be weary. Don't be weary. Get in that runner's high, get your sights locked on Jesus, and keep running. Keep running. You know what the Bible also says? Run with patience. Run with patience. Now, you may not believe me. I have unlimited patience in certain things. And in other things, I have no patience at all. Now, what do you mean, Brother Jesse? I have sat in line with a one-year-old for an hour to go to my favorite restaurant. I've done that before. You say, Brother Jesse, what do you mean? I was really hungry, and I really wanted that one item on the menu. But then there's other times in my life where I'll sit there, and that baby will cry. And I just can't have it. I'll be like, honey, we need to get the baby to stop crying. She's like, okay, go ahead. Make the baby stop crying. Thank you. I'm glad you stepped up to volunteer for that. And folks, as you run this course, you need to have patience. What do you mean? Sometimes you're going to be running through an area, you're not going to like it. Sometimes you're going to be running through part of the course and you just hate it. You're running and you say, man, I'm out of the woods. And then you get to that hot blacktop that's going around the track and you say, ooh, man, I want to go back to the woods where there's some shade. And you know what you got to do? You just got to patiently endure. You got to patiently endure. Folks, the race is long. And the Proverbs, or Romans 5, 3 through 4 says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Folks, the race is long. The race is long. Keep going. Be patient. Say, but I'm going through a hard spot. Keep running. Keep going through there. Run it with patience. You say, but Brother Jesse, there's just a tough part, and I just don't know how I'm going to get through it. Well, don't give up, because once you have that patience and you get that experience, you're going to have hope when you come through there for the next time. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jesse? God laid this course out for you. And so if you don't get the experience from the first part of the course, it's not going to be easier in the last part of the course. I promise you that. You say, what do you mean? You're going to go through that first part of the course and get your experience, and that experience is going to give you hope, and you'll get to the second part, and you'll get some more experience, and you're going to have some more hope, and you're going to keep running, and you're going to keep going. And as it goes, it may not get completely easy, but Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Keep running that course. Keep going, because God will help you through it. You say, but Brother Jesse, what about this? I got excited and I started running, but I started to feel like I was missing out on the other part of these courses that I'm running by. Don't feel that way. I felt that way before. You give it all up, and then you start running, and you say, well, look at what they're doing over there. They look like having fun. They don't look like they're running as hard as they need to. I want to go over there and run there. But what you don't know is that when your course goes straight and their course goes that way, they have to run through hell to get to where they're going. They have to run through the darkest parts of the world to get there. Just like our pastor says, you're going to take your course, or you're going to take that course, and that course takes you around to the back of the bar where they're throwing up, and they're not feeling very well. That course is going to take you past all the fun and all the college experiences you think you're missing out on, and you're going to get to the end, and you're going to see what it gets you. Folks, keep your course. Keep running. Patiently endure, because you might say it's hard now, but let me tell you, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, and if the Bible says it's hard, I believe it. I believe it. You know what you need to do? You need to run unencumbered. You need to run unencumbered, the Bible says. Lay aside every weight and the sin which still so easily beset us. Folks, picture this with me. You go to your kid, and you say, hey, we're going to go to Grandpa's. Their eyes light up. You say, okay, go get ready. We're going to go to Grandpa's. And what you meant was go get your shoes on and get in the car. But what they heard was get your favorite toy, go get the hat that you've been wearing this week, go get the other toys that aren't your favorite, but that you really want to play with at Grandpa's. And also put the gloves on. Why? Because it's cold in the van whenever the air conditioner's on. And you know what? All of a sudden, your kid comes out, and they don't even have their shoes on, but they've got skates on, and they got all their toys, and they're trying to get out to the van. And what's only a two-minute walk turns into an hour of you saying, put that down. Take those off. You don't need skates. You need shoes. You don't need gloves. I'll turn the air down in the back. And you know what happens? Is that kid, it's a battle going just from the living room all the way to the van. But it's so much easier once they drop all the stuff. It's so much easier once they drop all the stuff. Say, Brother Jesse, I think you have experience in that. Yes, I do. Yes. I mean, it's like going through Walmart for my kids. They start in their bedroom and they're like, I want to take this. No, put that down. You get in the living room. Oh, look, it's my favorite. And you're like, no, come this way. And you got to guide them around all the toys they left in the house just to get to the van. But you know what? If you start picking that stuff up, it's going to slow you down. If you start picking all that stuff up, it may be fun. You know what? It may be nice. But you know what? It's going to start slowing you down. You know what you need to do? You need to just try to drop some of those things. Brother Jesse, this is what I have fun with. You know what I've learned? I've practiced apathy to some things. Because I may not sound or act as competitive as other guys sometimes, but you know what? If I lose, it drives me quietly crazy. Because I don't want you to know it drives me crazy. So you know what I do is I say, I'm going to play this video game, but if I don't win, I don't care. I have to tell myself that. You know what I had to do? And you guys are going to laugh at this. I'm going to tell Miss Heather. You ready, Miss Heather? When I got married, I said, Miss Heather, this house is yours. I don't care what you put in it. And when I walked through the house, I put the blinders on. Because you know what? I may love what she picked out, but maybe what happens if I don't? So I just said, hey, I practice apathy. Hey, whatever you want to do with the furniture, when I get home, I'll accept that. I had to tell myself that. You know what? I did. Uh-oh, yeah. I had to tell myself that. I know where the couch is, at least, because that's where I'll be sleeping tonight. You know what, folks? We need to run with patience. We need to run unencumbered. Sometimes the preacher, you guys listening, sometimes the preacher tells you something and you say, oh, that can't be true. That can't be true. You know what? Hey, sometimes my dad, another teacher, somebody would tell me, hey, this is what you need to do. And I would go, why? And he'd say, well, it don't matter why. You just need to do that. That's just how the world works, son. Why? It doesn't seem like it's going to be easy. Well, I didn't say it was going to be easy. I said that's what you need to do. You know what? It's just like when you tear your car apart. I saw my uncle. He had his phone out or his camera. He's taking pictures. So what are you doing? He's like, well, while I tear my car apart, I'm going to take pictures so I know how to put it back together. And you know what? That may not sound so easy because every time you take something off, you take a picture. But when he gets it all off, he knows exactly how to put it together. Young people, when these men stand up here and preach to you and they teach to you in classes, you know what? You ought to pay attention because they know what they're talking about. You say, but that don't make no sense. It don't matter. They've ran the race. They're running part of the courses that you're running right now. You ought to listen to them. You ought to run through there. Let me end. Let me give you the context of the passage. If you look in Hebrews 11, you see all these people who died for the faith. You see all these people who died and they wore sheepskins and goatskins and they weren't comfortable. And it says in chapter 11 in verse number 38, let's see here, 38, 39, 39, verse number 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know what? Here's a question. As you run this race, will you have a good report? Will you have a good report? When he goes through and he does the breakdown at the sports center afterwards, is he going to look at your race and he's going to say, well, right here they got off course. Hey, well, right here he struggled getting through this area. If he had taken the part the coach told him to go through, he wouldn't have struggled there. What kind of report are you going to have? If listed off, will all the numbers in your life, what were they say in heaven? Say, what do you mean, Brother Jesse? I print off a lot of reports. How much money spent here? How much money spent there? What did we do exactly in this quarter? You know what? When your life report is printed off, what are the numbers going to say? You know what else? We are running a relay race. What do you mean? When you get to the end of your course, there's going to be a young man, a young lady, a family there to hand that baton off to hand that ministry off to maybe, to hand that part of your life off to, or maybe just to impart some pieces of wisdom. It's not as cut and dry as a relay race because I can look around here and I can see Isaac Walton sitting there who sat by me the first service I was here. I can see Miss Tina and Brother Bud there who told me to quit tickling Miss Heather in the van. I could see Brother Riser back there who was the bus captain and the bus driver while I was on that bus. I can see Brother Levi there who's still preaching, who taught me what I knew about the bus ministry. I can look across and see all kinds of people who passed something off to me. And here's a question. What are you passing off? Are you passing something off? Are you passing something off? Do you guys, before you go off to college, have something to give to one of these younger guys? A song, a ministry, a word of wisdom about who to talk to or who to pray with on Wednesday? Are you running that race? Because if you're not running the course, when you get to that part, they're not going to be there because they're running the course of their life. And if you guys don't meet up when God tells you to, you won't be able to hand that off. 2 Timothy 2:2, in these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Are you leading the next leg of the race? Are you too busy trying to show off and prove that you're tough enough to go through that mud hole or tough enough to go up that hill that God don't want you to go up? Or have you taken time to teach another? What do you mean? Because sometimes when you got to take somebody under your wing, it takes more of your time and more of your energy to do so. And you know what? When you're training somebody new for the job, they're supposed to make your life easier and they get there and they don't know anything. And it's actually harder. Isn't that right, Brother Jeff? When you get a new helper in there and they don't know where the tools are and they don't know how to do the job and you got to stop and it takes longer to do the job, but you know what? In the end, it's worth it. In the end, that guy can pick up that tool and he knows exactly where it's at and he'll do it before you say so. Are you passing the baton off? That's the two questions tonight. What's your report? Are you passing the baton off? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach. Thank you, Lord, so much for this church. And for the men and women who are here and not here who have passed the baton off, thank you for that great cloud of witnesses that I can look up now. And I can see men who have bought me books. And I can see men who have given me words of wisdom. I can see Sunday school teachers and loved ones. Thank you for that, God. Help us to continue to run the race. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.